Are you curious about bodies, pleasure, and possibilities? And what about curious about what others are up to on the planet when it comes to pleasure, sex, and play? Have you considered what pleasure can do for your life, your body, and your bank account? Do you know something magical, delightful, and out of this world orgasmic is not only possible for you, but totally available to you? If you're ready to be the magical, sexual, sexy beast you know you can be, and you just need the tools to get there, you're in the right place. Now, here is the host of The Pleasure Zone, sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, and holistic health practitioner, Milica Jelinic.
Welcome, my sweet, sweet pleasure seekers. It's a new year. It's not a new me. It's still me. I'm still here on the Pleasure Zone after over 11 years and well over 500 episodes. And we are still talking about all things pleasure. And today we are going to be talking about something kind of fun. We're going to be talking about the history, the science, and technique of kissing today. And the history is kind of fun in that we don't actually know, but we're going to go with things that have been speculated. And, you know, before we really jump into the show, I want you to like think back to when was the first kiss that you remember having, like aside from maybe, you know, your family kissing you, your, you know, parents, grandparents, that sort of familial thing that happens to children, whether they like it or not, those unconsensual kisses that you get as a child from the woman who has a giant cactus mole on her face, just saying that happens often. We'll get into why, but No, we don't really have to get into why. It just happens. You get those like secondary aunts in your life that have like giant moles on their faces that have like hair sticking out. And when you're little and they go to kiss you and then you get like pricked with it. So there can be those unpleasant kisses and then there's those pleasant kisses. And like, why do they happen culturally? Why do we do these things to people? All kinds of stuff. So when I was playing around with this show, I was thinking about all those like kisses, those ones that I didn't really want as a kid that were like from family that all stunk. And then it's like, you know, the ones you might have gotten when you were playing Spin the Bottle. So as one of the memories came up in the chat about that. Or maybe you were like me and you were 5 years old sitting in, I was in nursery school. So my parents got separated when I was four and I had been in a kindergarten. And when I went and we moved, I couldn't get back into a kindergarten. So I ended up going to like a nursery school or something for the rest of the year to finish out my year. And then I went back to kindergarten. But in the meantime, first kiss was about 5 years old, four or five, and nursery school. And I was sitting on a rocking chair. And it was in a town, a little small town in Ontario called Dunville that I was living in. And the boy, to this day, I remember his name. You can ask me if I could remember the names of all the people I've had sex with, and I can't. However, I can remember his name, which is crazy. Anyhow, maybe I can remember the names of all the people I've had sex with. Anyhow, doesn't matter because today's about kissing. So Davy Hill, shout out to you. If you happen to be listening, or anybody from Dunville Public School from the 1970s is listening and remembers Davy Hill. Davy Hill, you were my first kiss in frickin' nursery school. And you planted it on me on your birthday. And why do I remember this? I don't know. I don't even know why I remember it. Actually, I do know partly why I remember it, because I was so confused about it that I went and told everybody I knew. Like when I was finished class that day, you know, those important classes of senior kindergarten and junior kindergarten and nursery school, they're so important, right? And I finished the day. We go home. My grandma is like chatting me up on the way because, you know, it's a one block talk. And so in that block, I managed to tell her that I was kissed by a boy and it was his birthday. He turned five. So I must have been four, or he turned six and I was five. Anyway, he was older. And that's like 10% older when you're that age. Like, damn. So he was older than me. And I remember being so both excited and mortified that I didn't really know what to do with that. So telling my grandma then tells my grandpa, who then tells my mother, who then my mother, somehow the info gets to my dad. Another time, my parents are separated. My dad is coming to pick me up that day. So it's like a Friday because he would pick us up on a Friday and bring us back on a Sunday. So it's a Friday. He picks us up. It's an hour and a half drive from where we were staying with my grandparents to where my dad was. And I get a lecture for an hour and a half about how I'm not going to be allowed to have a boyfriend until I'm 18 or 19. How I need to not let boys touch me. Not, and I'm like, I didn't even know. There were details that I didn't even understand at the time about things that could be happening to me that I was like, I don't know. It's just, I just had a kiss. And now you guys are yucking my yum. And you guys are like, you guys are coming down on me. Like, this isn't fun. I feel shat on. And I remember crying because I was now in trouble by my dad for this boy kissing me who I didn't know I was supposed to like stop because I was okay with it. I also didn't know what was happening because I was just sitting there and he planted it right on my lips. And like, I think he kind of knew what he was doing because he was quite passionate about it. And it was like a little rocking thing. So there was like rocking going on. It was like a little rocking boat, and he's schmooching me. And that was wild. It was a wild ride, and I got in trouble for it. I got in trouble for it. Now, maybe even my teachers had told my grandmother, but I'm pretty sure I had told her as well. It's just the fact that like Bubba Hotline can go so fast, and that Bubba wasn't even my Serbian Bubba. But Bubba Hotline is like faster than any internet system you've ever seen. And those rumors go flying fast. My dad did not even have a cell phone. And somehow, what I remember, when I know this isn't even accurate, but the way I remember it is we end up at one of his best friends' house. She was a woman. And we land there. And somehow she already knows. We got there, we got to her front door, and she already knew what was happening. She knew I was a little slut, and I was getting the lecture. I was getting the lecture already, one foot in the door. You shouldn't be kissing boys, blah, blah, blah. My dad maybe gave her the signal. I'm not sure what happened there, but something happened, and all of a sudden, I got a lecture. I get another lecture. That whole weekend, my dad spent taking me to all of his friends' houses where I got lectured on not kissing boys and that I should not kiss boys till I'm 19, blah, blah, blah. Fast forward to when I'm 15 and I have my first French kiss, which was quite public, kind of strangely public. With a guy who was considerably older than me, is like me and these older dudes. He was 21 and I was 15. I don't know if he knew I was only 15, but anyway, shout out to you, Slobodan, if you're listening from Winnipeg. Anyhow, and you might be. We're still friends on Facebook. But anyhow, let's not do that clip as a clip that goes out to the world. So that kiss was kind of funny because it led to sort of like we like wrote back and forth to each other and that sort of thing. And then my dad, even after the age of 4 or 5, telling me I couldn't have a boyfriend till I was like 18, 19, the age of 15, my dad buys me a plane ticket to go visit this guy the next summer after the first initial kiss, sends me away to go smooch up this guy again, who is considerably older than me. Anyway, so my first French kiss was with a 21-year-old when I was 15, and my first other kiss was with a 6-year-old when I was 5, or a 5-year-old when I was 4. I don't know exactly, but tell you what, both of those were shocking. And when you look at your own personal history of kissing, like, what are some of your favorite stories? I'd love to hear. Was your first kiss because spin the bottle made you do it? I ended up with a boyfriend too because of a truth dare double dare scenario that landed in a kiss that then a guy became my boyfriend. So I had a few scenarios in my life that were kind of playful that way. Yeah, and kissing is a fascinating thing. And it's funny, like, I guess when you're young, maybe like your first kisses, you're not that particular, or maybe you are. I don't think I was, because I remember that my first kiss tasted an awful lot like food, like whatever he'd been eating. And I don't think I had gum, so I probably tasted like food too. But as I got older, I got more particular. And as I learned more about like what goes on in the microbiome of the mouth, I started to get incredibly particular, especially having an uncle who's a dentist who informed me that you can tell somebody's oral health has changed or if they're kissing somebody new because their mouth will have new decays and different things going on. The hygiene changes, the oral health changes, and probably even what they're doing for hygiene changes, who knows? Crazy times. So kissing can actually tell us a lot. Kissing can create a lot of health issues for sure. I had mono, aka the kissing disease, when I was in high school. Kissing can be construed as cheating too. You could like lose a relationship over kissing somebody. Kissing can start a relationship. We place a lot of significance on like lips and saliva. And then we just run with that and make it super significant. But if we took it all the way back to where that probably started, as to like, why do we do these things? The chances are, when you look at historically what people actually think why we started kissing was because at some point, and I know this is going to be hard for some people to believe, there were no blenders in the world. And we also didn't have mortars and pestles yet, probably. So what would happen is, mama's parents would chew food, which mastication, they'd chew the food, get the saliva going until it was like mush, and then put it into the infant's mouth. So because there was no blenders and there was no mortar and pestle, and probably not good enough, anything sharp enough to be able to chop food in a way that a baby would need it, somewhere the genius of humanity realized that you could chew it and feed it to your baby bird, right? Just like mama birds and baby birds, we probably watched animals do it and went, oh, that could be a way to keep that child alive after they have teeth and are gnawing your nipples off. So, and they might not know how to exactly chew food yet. So I think that's probably where it started is, you've bought food, you're transferring it over, and sometimes it would be like mouth-to-mouth contact. So it wasn't like sexual kissing. It was survival kissing. And that survival kissing probably evolved somewhere around 2500 BCE. We have record in different writings, like in the Kama Sutra, there's information about kissing and different ways to kiss. So we do know that there is recorded history of kissing. What we don't know is what led to that. And the best guess that we currently have, one of the best guesses, is that it came from probably sharing food. So next time you go to kiss somebody, think about that. Think about all those movies too. Keep all this stuff in your mind while you're kissing somebody. I'm kidding. But you watch those movies where somebody goes to kiss another person and their gum gets exchanged or they lose a filling. Like, I've never kissed somebody so hardcore that I lose my gum. Though I've had somebody try to give me their gum, which has made me want to hurl. No, thank you. I'm funny that way. I love when people are like, but you're like so open and sexual. Yes, but I also have a thing about saliva and the smell of saliva. It's a weird thing I have. I don't really like the smell of saliva. So if I am kissing somebody, their saliva's got to be on point. So otherwise, I'm good with doing everything else but smelling your saliva or licking your saliva. So funny, I'm a funny cat that way. And lots of people don't have that issue. That's a me thing. So me talking about kissing is quite funny to me because it isn't my top priority when it comes to intimacy. I think there's a lot of other ways you can be intimate. It's not my top priority, but it is something that I've been told I'm decent at, probably even good at, probably even given some, erections and maybe even climax is over. I don't, like, probably, as I've had reports on that, but I don't focus on that. Isn't the number one go-to. So we will be talking about those some techniques and some other things around kissing. I don't know why I went into that dive on my own life, but you guys are welcome. So you are listening to the Pleasure Zone here on Inspired Choices Network, and we will be right back after this commercial.
Are you secretly a voyeur, wondering what's going on in other people's sex lives? What if now is the time for a totally different sexual evolution? Are you interested in people who are pioneers of different sexual and pleasurable practices? Lean in now with Milica Jelinic, where she will entice you and your body to know your own pleasure zone. On the Pleasure Zone radio show with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelinic, you'll receive tools, inspiration, and a foundation to allow yourself to receive more in your sex life, and quite possibly other areas of your life as well. Listen for the Pleasure Zone with Milica every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Mountain Time, and 5 p.m. Pacific Time on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com.
Are you a subject matter expert? Are you here to share your expertise with an audience waiting to hear from you in only the way you can deliver? Are you ready to have your voice amplified across the airwaves? Inspired Choices Network has a global radio platform streaming to millions of people across the world. Professionally produced and supported by an accomplished team every step of the way, you can broadcast from anywhere in the world, knowing your voice matters, and we ensure it is delivered with ease and efficiency. Eager to hear your message, the world awaits. Contact us today to become an Inspired Choices Network radio host. Email becomeahost@inspiredchoicesnetwork.com.
This is the Pleasure Zone with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelinic. To participate in the program today, join our live studio audience in our chat room at inspiredchoicesnetwork.com. You can also make the choice to ask or comment by email, info@milicajelinic.com. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back, my sweet pleasure seekers. I'm your host, Milica Jelinic, and you are listening to the Pleasure Zone here on Inspired Choices Network, or many of the many other places that you might be listening to it via podcast format, or whether you're listening and watching on video or just audio. Wherever you're at, I am so grateful for you just being here and listening to me and my crazy self. If you happen to have ideas for shows, after all, I've been doing this for over 11 years. Sometimes I need ideas. If you have ideas that you'd like me to talk about, please feel free to send me a message. I love them. I have done several shows that have been dedicated to listeners who have written letters to me, and I'm forever grateful for those. They usually end up being some of my top listens, which I love that too. And sometimes they're topics that I hadn't thought about because they're not necessarily topics that I dive into that often. Or like one of the topics that I had from a listener was about belly buttons being erogenous zones, and I thought that was really cool. Like that there was a kink for belly buttons, and I was like, well, now I'm curious. I got to dive into that. So it's those peculiarities that I love. I love the unique stories and I love the unique interests. So as long as they're legal, they don't involve anybody that's, you know, as long as the people are consenting to all these actions, I'm happy to talk about it. Cool. So we were talking in the first segment about my own personal history, as well as what we think of as the history of kissing, which is probably goes back to like mothers or parents passing on food or whatever, people passing on food to infants, so that there's a survival aspect to it. There's also the idea that studies with bonobo, are they chimps or what are they? Whatever, bonobos. So, and chimpanzees, I think bonobos are separate from chimpanzees. So they have a history of using things like kissing actions as a form of hygiene, right? So that they use it to groom each other, even to feed each other. And that I could see that humans could have watched that, seen that, or been that, and then that translates over, that we still might do something like a grooming version of kissing at first, where, I suppose, like, if you're kissing somebody all over their body, it could look like an act of grooming if we were fully hairy and we had like little bugs and stuff, which we do, by the way. We all have little tiny microscopic bugs all over us. Sorry to horrify you. But they were visible and you were like trying to take them off, as animals tend to do with each other, like, especially bonobos and chimps are always like picking things and nits and things off of each other. So if we live through that and we were finding other ways, especially if you're eating those things, you would probably maybe just go right up to the body and save time and just eat right off the body. It's like, I don't know, a buffet. So could have evolved from that too. Could have evolved from many things. One thing that isn't written about in the actual history is maybe humans just did it because it was also like, if you're in a colder climate, maybe you needed it for warmth, so you would get close to each other to breathe on each other, and that led to the desire to kiss. I don't know. I think there could have been many things. You can also look at the different kinds of kissing, right? When you look at the Indigenous people of the North in Canada, so the Inuit, they talk about that the kissing for them can be via the noses, touching noses, rubbing noses. Then you've got there's variations of kisses, right? I think I did an entire show on kisses before too. I've done a couple. I think I did one that was called "A Kiss Is Not a Contract," or I talked about a kiss not being a contract in that one. Although a lot of times you seal a marriage with a kiss, so it can look like a contract for sure. But then we have the romantic kiss, and how does the romantic kiss evolve? We don't actually know, but what we do know is there is history there, and there are references. So one of the first references is from Mesopotamia, from like 2500 BCE, and it shows clay tablets with images of people kissing, kind of romantic versions of kissing. So we've got tablets, then we've got other writings, like I mentioned in the first segment from the Kama Sutra. There is an abundance of different kinds of kissing that goes on in the Kama Sutra. So some historians of human sexuality would say that the romantic kissing that we know today probably evolved somewhere from India and moved across and spread into different areas. So romantic kissing compared to other kissing, because I had mentioned earlier in the show, like being kissed by, the auntie with the giant mole on her face. I don't remember what her name was, but I remember her, and I remember her nickname. I just, in my head, I called her Cactus Lady because it was like a cactus coming at me. So those familial kisses, and those are, quite common. You might see it different ways in different numbers of times and different styles in different cultures. We'll talk a little bit about that too. But the next variation that kind of comes out after the references of India is the 5th century ancient Greece and Persia, where there are descriptions of mouth kisses being written about in Herodotus. And then also hand kissing is discussed in the Iliad. So I've not read either. I've just read the references that come from those. So people have been kissing different things in different parts for different reasons for a very long time. I know that in Serbian culture, so my dad is Serbian, and it is tradition that when you see somebody, instead of, well, you shaking hands, you might hold their hand, but then you'll kiss. You might not even hold their hand at all. You might just go up to them and kiss three times. So one, two, three. And that is, you're getting the three times for the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. It's a very like religious sort of thing, where other cultures might do it twice. And then you might have sometimes where people will kiss your forehead, or they might different areas, right? And kissing hands is something, actually, I was watching a movie or something last night, and one of the characters went and put out their hand to get a kiss, and the other person was like, oh, I get it. You want me to kiss your hand? Because we don't really kiss people's hands so much anymore, do we? Unless maybe you're in those upper class circles where you're meeting some lord or lady and you're supposed to kiss their hand. I suppose that happens. Usually they'd probably be wearing gloves. We also have in the Orthodox Church, Serbian Orthodox, which Christmas is coming for those of you listening in the now. If you're listening in the future, Christmas is past, but Christmas is on January 7th for Orthodox Christians. And in the Orthodox Christian Church, we kiss icons three times. We also kiss our priest on the hand and on his ring, I guess his ring of his hand, and then on the cross that he holds. And we kiss a lot in church. We are mega kissers of all kinds. What a great way to spread germs. And if you have hundreds of people going to church and they're all kissing that, what a fabulous way to spread germs. Anyway, yay us. Maybe it's a great way to build immunity. So kissing for different purposes, but the whole romantic kissing, that's where I think there's been a lot of mystery around, like, how do you actually kiss somebody in a way that is enjoyable? And why do we bother? Like, what does it do to the body? So if you're like, I'm just kissing to get turned on, there's actually more to it. And if you're not like me, and if you actually don't mind saliva smells and saliva in general, then you probably be okay with, just kissing for the fun of it to get turned on. For me, it actually has to have some more depth to it. So kissing is like, it can be so incredibly calming. It can be so nurturing. It can also be something that does elevate your turn on, but it can also be something that helps your body feel calm, cool, and connected. So if you were like feeling disconnected from your partner, you know, they often say you could just give that 15 to 30 second kiss. You don't even have to open your mouth and tongue each other. Just be there present, lips to lips. You can even just do the stare for 30 seconds. The kissing can help increase things like dopamine and serotonin and endorphins. And it particularly does those happy hormones. You know, there's probably also, it reduces things like it reduces cortisol from like anxiety, and it can help boost things like self-esteem, and it can reduce stress as well. So if you've got really high cortisol, you know, everybody's talking about cortisol levels these days. And I did a show recently about cortisol levels. I don't even remember if I mentioned kissing in it, but kissing is one of those things that can help reduce cortisol, which is the body's primary stress hormone. So if you can kiss somebody that has, we'll say, a good healthy microbiome in their mouth, and you're not catching anything from them or changing your microbiome, your body's healthy, your body can maintain its health, and then you're reducing your cortisol, there are only benefits. There are only health benefits that you can consider when looking at what kissing can do for you, especially romantic kissing, and that you actually really enjoy and love the person is a bonus, right? So, but what the act of kissing actually does is it activates all the pleasure centers in the brain, and it releases all those happy feel-good hormones. So just like all pleasure-centered things, these pleasure hormones get released from the brain. So when I talk about orgasms start in the brain, they do, because it's those hormones that get released. Doesn't matter what part's being stimulated, you can have an orgasm from kissing. So even though I have that thing about saliva, I have had orgasms from kissing. I don't know if I brought that up before, but I have. it's pretty phenomenal experience. And why is that? It's because it's all in the pleasure center. And if you allow your body to just let her go, I bet you could also have orgasms from kissing too. We'll talk more about that though. So I'm your host, Milica Jelinic, and you're listening to The Pleasure Zone, and we will be right back after this commercial.
Are you secretly a voyeur, wondering what's going on in other people's sex lives? What if now is the time for a totally different sexual evolution? Are you interested in people who are pioneers of different sexual and pleasurable practices? Lean in now with Milica Jelinic, where she will entice you and your body to know your own pleasure zone. On The Pleasure Zone radio show, with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelinic, you'll receive tools, inspiration, and a foundation to allow yourself to receive more in your sex life, and quite possibly, other areas of your life as well. Listen for The Pleasure Zone with Milica every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Mountain Time, and 5 p.m. Pacific Time on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com.
How wonderful would it be to carry your favorite Inspired Choices Network host with you throughout your day? Well, now you can. Inspired Choices Network now has its very own mobile app. Our free app offers live streaming shows, along with thousands of podcasts and TV episodes. Our shows cover a wide variety of topics. Whether you're waking up with us, carrying us through the day, and taking us to bed with you, we're always here for you to enjoy. We're easy to find. Just search for Inspired Choices Network in the Apple App Store or Google Play Store.
This is The Pleasure Zone with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelinic. To participate in the program today, join our live studio audience in our chat room at InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. You can also make the choice to ask or comment by email, info@MilicaJelinic.com. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back, my sweet pleasure seekers. Ooh, it's good to have you here. It's good to have you. My name is Milica Jelinic. If you're just joining us right now, you want to go back and listen to the first two segments on this because they're fun, they're playful. They give a little bit of my history and mystery along with some history of kissing. And we've been diving into a little bit of the biochemistry of like, what do we actually benefit from kissing? What are the health benefits? And there are several health benefits to kissing for sure. As much as you can have the microbiome of your mouth start to be destroyed, you could also think of it as if you have really good microbiome and you're giving that to somebody else, you might help to improve theirs. You know how they do like fecal transplants? I'm guessing that the same might be true for saliva. However, you'd want to be implanting rather than having the bad microbiome saliva implanted into your mouth. Not sure how you control that. Maybe you just spit in there. I don't know. But you can, I don't think I would like that. Some people would. Go for it if you're into it. If you are just jumping back right now, then if you haven't yet, if you could just go and get on your phone, if you're not on your phone, and download the Inspired Choices Network app, it's free. And then you can just take me everywhere you are and take me to work. I've friends who take me to work, take me to bed if you're lonely and horny, just whatever. I'm fine with that. Just jerk off and have some fun. If you are just really into the education and the play, awesome. Get the app. It's totally free. You can also listen to us everywhere and anywhere. What I'd really love is if you could go over, if you've been enjoying this show, if you could go over and give me a 5-star review on iTunes, just search for The Pleasure Zone. Find it, 5-star me. I would be ever so grateful. So the more you can do that, the more it motivates me to keep doing these shows and get the information out there. So we were talking about kissing, and then I was like, ooh, spit in somebody's mouth, change their saliva. Okay, that went a little too far. Maybe not for some people. Maybe they're into that. But In the chat, if none of you are like live with us in the chat, you can always come over while I'm doing live shows. You can come over and join the chat and play with the rest of us who are in here who are sending messages, which is totally fun thing to do. One of the comments in the chat was that this whole concept just gives this all gives new context to the kissing booth at fairs. Yeah, like it could be healthy, it could destroy your mouth. We don't know. What I was thinking about on break is how essentially so much of foreplay is a variant of any foreplay that involves your mouth is like a variant of kissing. So you could even like consider that oral sex could be like a variant of kissing. You know? Anyway, that was just my weird, wacky thought. How basically at some point, human beings decided that sticking things in their mouth was a thing to do. And if we think about oral fixations, according to Freud, right, that starts at birth, super young, and we might not ever grow out of it. So you can have your oral fixation for life. And if you're somebody who has sucked your thumb in your life, or you just can't stop putting things in your mouth, you might have an oral fixation. So you might really like a lot of kissing and putting things in your mouth. And that is like a natural development. So at some point, human beings, just through natural development, probably decided, let's stick some things in our mouth. So if we're doing that, then we might have been like, ooh, another human being, let's stick their finger in our mouth. Oh, let's stick, oh, there's a boob. I had that boob when I was a baby. Oh, I just saw that woman give that boob to a baby. Let me see what it feels like as an adult to suck on that boob. What? It's amazing. Like, I don't know how we figured this out, but we did. We evolved. Our human sexuality evolved to the point where we now have kink where, you know, we actually know that kink play is supposed to be consensual, where maybe 150 or 200 years ago, it was just demeaning and mean to even consider doing anything that was like sadomasochistic. It wasn't kind. But now that kind of dom and sub play is actually consensual, or supposed to be. In some cases, it probably still isn't. But we've evolved, we've learned, and we've grown, and we're always learning more information. Like even in the last 10 years, 5 to 10 years, we've actually learned about more about a clitoris. Because why? Because we used to only know it based on bovine clitorises, but now we know that clitorises actually have more than 10,000 nerve endings rather than just 8. So we are constantly evolving and learning. Probably even some of the shows I did earlier on in the first few years, there's been more information. And I was thinking about that too, how information's always coming out. And now, you know, there's probably revisions and additions that I could have added to those shows, which is why I keep going, because the information does change and it evolves and we get more information, and so we can always learn and grow. So that's what human beings do. And then we learn and grow, and we experiment, and we're curious, and then we start kissing things, and we start sticking things in our mouth. Next thing you know, sticking body parts in our mouth. Next thing you know, we start kissing. Why did we do that? We actually probably have no idea why we did it. But if a 5-year-old sitting on a little rocking chair or whatever, 4 or 5-year-old, and the other kid has the instinct of kiss at that age, either that kid was exposed to a lot of schmecking in his life, or just had the inclination or desire to kiss, which I think is fascinating that we would have that desire and then have that follow through, or even remotely know what to do with it. I don't know. Fascinates me. So here we are evolving, trying to learn how to kiss. We probably don't even remotely know how to kiss. And I have to say that I think a lot of kissing that people learn is from TV. And a lot of that is not necessarily translatable into real life. There are some good kissing scenes out there, and then there are some really sloppy, messy ones where you're like, what? In what reality? I don't know. It, I guess, depends on what you're into. I'm not into having like somebody basically choke me with their tongue. So those scenes in like movies and shows where a person's like mouth wide open, tongue down the throat, stabbing like they're, I don't know, trying to beat you to death with their tongue. Not, I don't find that sexy. Maybe other people do. What I personally find sexy is the intensity of space. I know this is going to sound weird, but you know that space where when you're about to kiss and there's that waiting and that pause and then the where you actually start to breathe in sync with each other and you haven't kissed yet, but you're still, you have that intensity of presence and that buildup. The not kissing part, that space in between the not kissing and kissing, is some of the most intense energy. I like that space in between sex too, the space in between, you know, the actual insertion of things into holes, or like whatever. Then that space, that waiting, that pause, I find that pause incredibly sexy. I don't know. I'd love to hear what you guys think about that pause time. Like, do you find that pause incredibly sexy? Or is that the sexiest part for you, the action that's actually happening? There are so many different ways to kiss and styles of kissing, as individual as each individual. So when you are kissing somebody, it's really good to get feedback. And one of the ways to notice feedback is, you know, when you're kissing, yeah, anticipation, that's the word, the anticipation energy. So when you are kissing somebody, you might not be able to give that for verbal feedback. So what you're looking for is body cues. And body cues aren't easy for everyone to read. So it's something that you can learn to read. I think that all things sexual are a skill we develop. Just like you might have some innate talent, but you also probably need to develop your skill. Just like you could have innate talent at playing the violin, but you can develop it to become masterful. So you might have some innate ideas that are just there. And if you follow your partner's lead, if they're like leaning in more, and you are like, oh, okay, I can do that, and you lean in more, then it's great. But sometimes some people just get aggressive and they don't follow the energy and they don't follow the lead and they don't play the dance of follow the leader. So it's good to know who the leader is, but then the leader can switch, and then you notice that energy when the energy switches. Does that sound too crazy to you guys, or does that make sense? Because to me, very kissing is very much a dance of follow the leader. And if you follow somebody's pressure response to your lips and you match that pressure response, and if you want a little bit more and you give a little bit more, but they pull back, then you know then that's not for them, right? So you can test the pressure response, you can test the mouth open response, whether they want that or not. And you can test that by going really slow, like pressure on lips, then go really slow for the open and just see how comfortable they are. And they might want to close again. Cool. Then you back off and you might want to kiss somewhere else for a minute because maybe that intensity on the lips is too much. So maybe kissing somewhere else. And you can have these conversations beforehand because I think when people fail to have these conversations, things get weird. But have conversations about neck kissing because some people go overboard and then they start leaving hickeys. And I think to me, hickeys are like a sign of ownership. And I'm not good with hickeys. I'm not a fan of them. I'm like, if somebody wants to bruise me, then like what is that? Like if you punched me and bruised me, that's not okay. So why is biting me and bruising me okay? Anyway, that's my opinion on hickeys. Not a fan at all of hickeys. The intensity, though, you could be kissing and there could be maybe pressure on the neck. There could be slight licking, as long as you know the saliva is all right. I'm funny that way. And you know, there might be other areas. Maybe you want to kiss right at the back of the neck. Maybe you're kissing them down their back first before you even kiss their mouth. Maybe your whole kissing experience isn't exactly what they show in movies where everybody goes for the mouth and they basically swallow each other whole, which was my first experience watching a kiss on TV, which was watching Dallas. And I think it was JR kissing his wife or something. Yeah, it was maybe that, or maybe it was the character Bobby kissing his wife. Can't remember. I was pretty young, like 7 or 8. And I cried. I was mortified. I thought that he was biting her face. I thought he was harming her. And that's the thing is, when you're a kid and you read energy, you can see and feel like the almost like the violence in something when it other adults would deem it as that's sexy. Not really. It's more violent. There wasn't any like sweetness in it. Where later on I could see kissing and it was like, okay, there was sweetness there. There wasn't. That was violent. Like, it's a funny thing when you feel and read energy in kisses, and sometimes they just come across as incredibly violent. So we're gonna come back. I want to share with you guys one comment before we go to break, though. So one of the comments in the chat was about so much kissing being received was just stick the tongue in the mouth and swish it around messily. Ugh. Yes, not fun. Your mouth is not a toilet with a toilet brush going in to wash it. That's not. It's not the style. It's not the method. Ugh. I don't know if I gave my vomit sound good enough, but that is not fun. All right, so we are going to head to the next commercial break. My name is Millie Tsayelinich, and you are listening to the Pleasure Zone here on Inspired Choices Network, and we'll be right back after this commercial.
Are you secretly a voyeur, wondering what's going on in other people's sex lives? What if now is the time for a totally different sexual evolution? Are you interested in people who are pioneers of different sexual and pleasurable practices? Lean in now with Milica Yelenich, where she will entice you and your body to know your own pleasure zone. On the Pleasure Zone radio show with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Yelenich, you'll receive tools, inspiration, and a foundation to allow yourself to receive more in your sex life, and quite possibly other areas of your life as well. Listen for The Pleasure Zone with Milica every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Mountain Time, and 5 p.m. Pacific Time on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. This is The Pleasure Zone with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Yelenich. To participate in the program today, join our live studio audience in our chat room at InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. You can also make the choice to ask or comment by email, info@MilicaYelenich.com. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back, my sweet pleasure seekers. I don't know if I've already told you guys this in this episode, but I don't think I did. If you ever would like to just get in contact with me and have a little chat, head over to my website, MilicaYelenich.com, and you can book a little time with me. It is still available on the website to do that. That is going to be an offer until I remove that from the website. So it's still there. So go take advantage of it. So while we're on break, just for fun, I Googled how to kissing techniques. And just I'm just curious what Google had to say. So here's the overview from Google. Which is exactly what I've already told you guys, but it's worded in Google speak. So effective kissing involves starting slow and gentle, keeping lips soft, varying pressure and focus, lips, neck, etc., using hands gently, and paying attention to your partner's responses to build intimacy. With French kissing, starting subtly with the tongue after initial lip contact. Communication and mirroring your partner's actions are key for a synchronized, enjoyable experience. You're welcome. That is my commercial voice. I hope you enjoyed it. But essentially, the summary of everything I just said, and I'm wondering, did Google just listen to the show and then just create that? If so, sweet Lord, that is amazing. Yes, comment in the chat room that I must have the best browser history. My browser history sometimes scares me. I actually wonder if I will, be like arrested for things I do research on. But so far I'm good. So far it's research, folks. For those of you who are looking at my browser history, it's 100% research. All right, just being clear. So as you heard from our friend Google, the mirroring technique, like I was saying, if you go to add a little pressure and that person pulls back, well, then know that they're not asking you to lean forward more and stick your tongue forcibly into their mouth that's closed and then try to open it and like pry open their mouth and teeth by sticking your tongue in there. Like, I've had this happen and the person thought they were being sexy. And I was like, this is nothing but violent, especially when they've got the thing where they think they have to hold your head there and like shove their tongue in your mouth. Holding your head gently or, somewhere is fine, but that force, it's like, dude, if this is your version of passion for you is exactly the passion of Christ, which is suffering, then cool, I get that. Yours is not erotic sensual buildup. That is violent, like extreme. What is this not enjoyable version of kissing? Blech. Pukes. So, somewhere around my like tw late 20s or something. I don't know. I think I was just like fed up with kissing. And I became incredibly particular. And then and it's been a wild ride. So kissing can be incredibly beautiful and it can be such an amazing connection. And when somebody follows your lead, if you're the leader, or if you are able to follow their lead because their lead is at the speed and the pressure and the wetness that you like, fantastic. You want to keep in mind a few key things. You want to have good oral health. I don't know where that accent even came from. It's somewhere I became Swedish for like 0.5 seconds. So good oral health. What does that mean? Floss your teeth, keep your gums healthy, keep your teeth healthy. Your teeth don't have to be 100% white, just because sometimes overdoing it with those whitening things makes your teeth very sensitive and not very healthy. So keep them healthy. Good breath. The technique of also not having super dry lips, right? That isn't so fun either. Not having a shit ton of saliva just pouring out, like as if you just ate some sour candy and it's all just like flying out of your mouth, like dripping. No, overindulgence of saliva is, it's not cool. I'd choke on it. So your mouth needs to be not dry. You can always have a drink around. And, deep, good breath is helpful. Then the technique is all about that mirroring. Go slow, follow the lead, touch in other places, ask what they like. Ask them to show you what they like. Because so many times we assume that we're supposed to know. But if you know what you like, then you can be the leader. And if you don't really know what you like, then what a great time to discover together what you might like. What a fun thing to do. What a great way to build something unique with each other, especially if you haven't had like a whole ton of lovers in your life. And then it's something very specific that you have with your partner can be lovely. If you've had many lovers and you know the kind of style of kissing you like, then you can always be the leader and show. And also, maybe you can learn new techniques from your partner. Having the tongue shoved down your throat to the point where you're about to choke. I never found that sexy, but I'm taking votes here. If you are listening on any platform where you can comment, I'd like to know your vote on what kind of kissing do you like? Do you like it slow with like medium pressure? Like, what do you like? I want to know. I want to know. Let's share this info out there and get people to be more, I don't know, skilled and be okay with learning that.
Thank you for choosing to listen to The Pleasure Zone with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelinic. We'll return next Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Central, 6 p.m. Mountain Time, and 5 p.m. Pacific on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. We hope you'll join us. Until then, have the best week of your life by choosing to be turned on and tuned in to your body.